Happy Sunday afternoon and welcome to Fit to Be Tied, this pre-Thanksgiving day edition of Fit to Be Tied.
That's right.
So, yeah, lots of different directions that we could go with our show today, with it being pre-Thanksgiving like that, and it's and a wellness show.
Exactly.
Many things to talk about. The one that I'm most looking forward to, not necessarily talking about, but about Thanksgiving, is that nap I get on Thursday afternoon. But that's a different story for a different day. But I will say that is my favorite part of Thanksgiving, aside from seeing some parts of my family that I never get to see. Your turn.
You know, I will say that the post-Thanksgiving nap is pretty awesome. There's something about just being really full and then getting to sleep. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of the patients that I interact with, like our students that get really full, they might get really full from lunch, and then they've still got to show up for class in the afternoon. So at least with Thanksgiving, it's like this guilt-free, I'm a pass out, don't have to do anything academically or mentally or physically challenging.
Right.
You know, are you the type of family that does the, you know, jolly football game in the backyard Thanksgiving Day like you see on sitcoms?
We do. We don't necessarily, at my age, we don't, it's not the same type of football game, but we always end up throwing football around.
Okay.
I don't know if I should be embarrassed to say this or proud to say this, and I think we have a guest on here today that would probably say the same thing as me. I usually get, just about any holiday, I'll get a pre-workout in prior to whatever it is that I'm doing. So I'll spend Thanksgiving morning working out, and not because I feel guilty about what I eat, because you know I'm not going to eat a whole lot of calories on Thanksgiving Day. But I just like getting up and enjoying that part of the workout day because, again, like you said, I don't have anything else to do the rest of the day.
Right.
So I can come home and kick back and relax and take a nap.
Yeah,
so.
And actually, I had just gotten an email from a local gym that I go to in Tuscaloosa. I think they're having what's called a turkey torch the morning of Thanksgiving. So it's like
really?
An extended workout class before heading to a Thanksgiving get-together. So I might partake in that. Maybe you have inspired me. We'll see.
Hey, there we go.
So,
there we have it.
Yeah, you've got the dietitian to be active. Who knows?
The craziest thing I've ever done holiday wise, I'll tell you this real quickly. And I don't know if they still have it or not, but for those of you that are runners, you might want to check this out. You might not. At Oak Mountain, the name of the race eludes me, but there's this semi road run, and it's Peavine Falls.
Okay.
Peavine Falls. Okay. And it's about a 9.1 mile run. And it starts early in the morning, July the 4th, obviously.
Okay.
And you're 4.5 miles straight. It's uphill. There is not a flat spot till you get to the top, and then you turn around and run back down.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was by far the hardest and dumbest thing I've ever done in my life.
Really? Now,
yeah.
How long ago did you do this? When was the last time you did this?
Last year. No, I'm not in that good a shape. it's probably been about 10 or 12 years ago,
okay.
or something like
okay.
that. I was in really good shape, and it's the only race that I've ever had to walk in. But, you know, you go around these winding roads, and you every time you come around a curve, it's like, there's going to be a flat spot. There's going to be a flat spot just to catch my breath for a second. Every time you go around a curve, it gets steeper and steeper till you get to the top. So, but for those of you that like a challenge, it is that's a great challenge that starts. If they still do it, I hope they still do it, because for some people out there, not for me.
Over 10 years ago. So I don't know.
You could do it. You could get, you're young enough, you could get in good shape. Are you still celebrating your birthday?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to think what other way. Yes, because I'm seeing my parents, and you know, they have not given me a birthday present yet. So
okay.
I feel like until everyone that's close to me has given me and presented their gifts, there's still celebration happening. So at least that's how
love
I feel.
It. Yeah.
But okay, so show this afternoon. You know, we've got some pretty legit guests that are coming on.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a guy and a girl. It'll be great. So we're even, you know, men versus the women.
There we go.
In our show today, so that'll work out. But you guys, stick with us this afternoon. Obviously, it's going to be a fun afternoon. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 to Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 the Capstone. And we're back this Sunday afternoon, pre-Thanksgiving Day edition. Keep going back to that because I am excited about a couple of days off. So I'm excited about a couple of days off and about seeing some family I hadn't seen in a while. And Sheena, you're just telling me your family plans and all that have changed for seeing your family in the near future, right?
Yes, they have. So I was supposed to go to California to see some family, but we have decided to defer that trip to December. We are going to have some additional family from other parts of the country come in, and it's become an unofficial family reunion. My mom's the oldest of 7 children, and I'm the oldest of 21 grandchildren. So wow. We're trying to get everybody together for my grandmother's birthday, which is in December, so I'm using my flight for that instead. But the great news is I'll get to watch the Iron Bowl in Alabama, which
right.
is nice.
Yes,
it was going to be kind of lame to watch it in California and then nobody understand the emotional turmoil that I was going through or excitement, you know.
Yeah, so, you're not going to be feeling any turmoil.
No.
Well,
no.
We do have a guest here who has Auburn ties today, so there might be some blows exchanged before this show's over with.
But we're professional, yeah.
We're professional, but me and him fight all the time.
Okay, that's work. Fair. That's
no,
fair.
I'm excited to have this guy here with us here today. Daryl Hargraves is our associate director over facilities at the. Did I say that correctly, Daryl?
Yeah, that's right.
Facilities. I knew it was facilities. I didn't know if it was something that went with it. But Daryl Hargraves brings with him a great background. And there's some things that I want to talk about Daryl about in a minute that he's too humble to say about himself. But, you know, He's in charge of all things basically physical within our facilities, which are the Student Rec Center, the WIT Center, Presidential mm-hmm. Center at WIT, and a lot of what goes on over at the Aquatic Center is Daryl's fault. I shouldn't say that as well. And we have your friend, Maria Ford.
Yes. So Maria is our marketing manager at the Student Health Center. She has been a great addition to our staff. And so she does a bomb.com job of getting the word out about all of our different services. So it's going to be great to have folks from each of our areas. Is John
right? I'm telling you, I could not be more excited about this.
I think this is going to be interesting. And the one thing that I regret that I think that we should do for all our guests, we should have lead-in music, kind of like UFC fights, you know, or boxing. They walk in. I don't know what songs we would have used, but that just made me think with the intros we've been doing and the accolades that we're sharing of our colleagues right now. So
you know what? I wish we could. That would be fun. I have a couple picked out for Daryl.
None which I would take.
But no, real quickly, what I will say about Daryl before I let him introduce himself and tell a little bit about his background is I have never Daryl. I've been teaching an academic class on campus here since around 2004, and I don't know that there's been a year go by. A semester go by that I haven't had Daryl come and speak to my class, because any class related to conflict resolution or conflict management, there is not a better person in the world. I'm going to say at least in the state. Okay, I'm sure there are better people in the world.
Yeah.
There are people
that's
you have to learn from, now. I'm too sure, Daryl. But this guy here is great at conflict resolution, conflict management. And it comes, I dare say, he might say some other reason, but it comes from a very, very extensive officiating background.
Okay.
So he's used to having to deal with angry people a lot. So, Daryl, real quickly, I mean, could you tell us just a little bit about your background, what you got your degree in? Like I said, obviously you're over the physical part, the facilities, and our student staff at the Student Rec Center. But what your academic background and what prepared you for this type of career?
Sure. First, thanks for inviting me on the show, Fit to Be Tied. I know we've tried a couple of times, and if you definitely bring the walkout music, I mm-hmm. want to come back and
okay.
definitely pick my
awesome.
Mic
perfect.
And not have you do that. Sure. I've been in recreation since I was a freshman at Troy University. It was Troy State when I was there. So I got my degree in sport fitness management okay. from Troy. Did an internship at Florida State, all in intramural sports, and then went and got my master's at Ohio University as a graduate assistant at their rec center up there, and then came here in 2004. So been working in recreation since a freshman in college. Then had the opportunity 4 years ago to move over to facility operations and events and do that. So I had to change gears, but, you know, still doing student involvement and all that kind of stuff at the rec center.
We kind of followed similar backgrounds and really within a couple of years apart. Came here just a couple of years after I did professionally, and you made that leap over. I went from facilities to fitness, and God bless you.
My first day was actually our grand reopening in 2004 when we did the addition.
Was that
at the rec center?
Okay. Oh, wow.
That was my
so
first day. Yeah.
That's like a pretty significant and easy way to remember that first day of work.
Wow, that is pretty cool.
July was our grand opening of that.
Okay.
In 2004.
Well, you know, if I'm going to think about random memories, I will say, Daryl, the first time that I think I ever remember meeting you or interacting with you was at an SGA banquet at the Bryant Conference Center, and I had spilled iced tea all over my lap, and I was telling my coworker at the time, I was like, "Who are these guys from that are sitting at our table?" And they're like, "Oh, they're UREC people," and I was like, "Okay, hopefully they understand that I'm just really having a moment right now, spilling liquids all over myself." Yes, but anyways, I mean, Daryl, just, you know, with everything that you have done, you know, certainly there has been even just a diversity within your positions at UREC. What actually got you interested in the field overall?
I knew what I wanted to do was sport related. I went to Troy to be an athletic trainer. I knew I wanted to stay involved in sports somehow, some way, and be active. And as a college student, you know, you need a job. And my buddy's like, "Hey, come referee." And I was like, "Not a shot. No way." Mm-hmm. People yell at you, and that's not a way I want to earn a paycheck as a student. But I did it, and I loved it. And then I met my mentor, Shea Phillips, who was our director in recreation at Troy. And that's what he did for a living. He got to teach students how to referee and be a part of a campus recreation. And then he also played as a participant. And I'm like, "You get to play flag football as your job?" And then that next quarter, we were on quarters, that next quarter I went in and changed my major from athletic training to sports management.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the winter quarter of 99. So
okay,
I've been sport management since 1999 and worked in recreation since a freshman.
Okay,
that's cool.
Awesome.
So what we're going to do today, we're going to try this back and forth today. Yes. We got two different topics. So Daryl, I got Daryl on my side here to bounce questions off of. Maria, with your background in marketing, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, how you ended up here at the University of Alabama, and why you like doing what you do?
Sure thing. So I started out as a freshman here at the university. I got my degree in public relations. And then after graduation, kind of the skills that I had learned and gathered as a student kind of helped me step out of public relations and into marketing. I started out at Time Inc. in Birmingham working on Southern Living, Cooking Light, Coastal Living titles, and learned really what I knew about marketing up until that point there. Got to work with some great people who kind of gave me the patience and the time to learn. And from there, I kind of stepped into the world of sports marketing. I went from Southern Living to a company called Bassmaster. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Oh, nice.
So I went from learning how to market, you know, Southern Living cookbooks to how to get people to come to these bass fishing tournaments.
That's awesome.
Which for me, having no, you know, I knew how to fish. So I was like, in theory, I get how this works. But I'd never been to a tournament. I'm like, how do you get 25,000 people to show up to see somebody weigh fish? And then I went to my first one, and I was like, oh, I get it. Okay, because, like, you've got Toyota there and Allstate there and all these big companies pouring money. And so that was a really fun experience, getting to kind of stay within publishing because they also have magazines, but then also getting to travel all over the country to the most random towns to see people catch and weigh fish and then win money for it. But after that, I was there for a couple years and knew I really wanted to come back somewhere and get my master's in marketing and maybe kind of get a stronger educational background in the field. And I had the opportunity to come back to the university and get my master's in marketing here and work as a GA. And then in the course of that time, met my husband, who's from here, knew he was going to be here. We got engaged. And so that's kind of how I ended up at the university full time. And then now I've been at the Student Health Center for about maybe 4 or 5 months. So.
I think so. I know. Yeah. But I'm like, I feel so close to you now. I know. It could be longer. But I mean, obviously, just, you know, hearing your accolades, Maria, just as far as the diversity of your experiences. And then, of course, with Daryl's experiences, we're going to have a good time this afternoon.
Yeah.
John.
For those of you that don't know, what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth. We're going to talk about some etiquette. We're going to talk about some common things that happen at both facilities, the Student Health Center, Student Rec Center, and some things that we see happen that, you know, we have rules in place at both places, and a lot of people don't understand them, so it's a chance for us to explain those rules. So I'm looking forward to it.
For sure. But you guys, it's that time again. We got to take a quick break. You are listening to Fit to be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Ballad Assembly, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back. If you've just joined us this afternoon, Sheena and John are talking to Daryl and Maria from University Recreation and the Student Health Center, and it's going to be a great afternoon. You know, we're going to be talking about some different things related to etiquette, and, you know, when I think about etiquette and things to keep in mind, just being respectful of people in any kind of facility you're going into. John, there's a particular topic that's kept popping in your head that you've wanted to ask our guests.
Yeah, I've had this on my mind for years and years and haven't been able to do anything about it. Brought it up at numerous meetings. But it's one of those things where it's the age that we're living in, you know, the age of social media and all the changes that are occurring within social media. People want to, well, not only have that immediate communication, but to be able to snap a picture and tell people where they are and, hey, when they're at our place, they're proud that they're at the gym.
Oh,
a lot
of
people are.
That's right.
You know, they might come one time a year, but they're going to take a picture, Snapchat, and, hey, I'm at the gym. I got my sweat on. They might have gotten it on from splashing water on their face at the, you know, water fountain or whatever. But it is an issue. It has long been an issue for me. Daryl, what are your thoughts on it? You know, you've been in your position for a little while. What you see it a lot?
Yeah, it's a reoccurring thing, and we get it because social media.
Sure.
You know, they want to post, like you said, post where they are, but they also get a lot of their information from social media. They'll follow Men's Fitness and Instagram, and they'll kind of do those same things and want to post like those weightlifters that are posting the exercises they do onto a social media platform. So it's a And plus, you know, the iPods and all that kind of stuff have kind of faded where everything's on one phone connected to a wireless device that's in your ear and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's a need, but not in some ways, in some manners of, you know, there are the social media sites that take pictures of people in weight rooms not doing, you know, something that's the right way and had a lift, or doing something on a piece of equipment that's the wrong way, and they'll take a picture of that. And that's the things that we want to kind of eliminate from the R weight room.
Right. In terms of rules, what would you say is our norm for how we handle situations such as that right now?
You know, we talk to our staff if we have somebody that's obviously video or recording somebody, and the best case that we can actually see that going on is when people are observing the Group X studios. Mm-hmm. There'll be somebody out there blatantly recording somebody in a Group X class. It's probably me or JJ because we are not the most coordinated people in those, in those classes. But that's where it happens, and we'll ask them to delete it before it gets out of hand or be posted to a social media outlet. We have had some people post not other people, but just we could tell our weight room shows up in a Snapchat or online or whatever else, and we just try to eliminate that as best we can.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's one thing to inadvertently get somebody in the background of a picture.
Right.
But two things that jump out at me before we move on to the problems you guys have at the Student Health Center with this. One thing is we have a lot of machines that put people in compromising positions. So it's easy to walk by and act like you're looking at your phone and take a picture of somebody. And,
oh, sure.
You know, that's issue number one. Issue number two is something that, to my knowledge, has not come up as a major problem for us, knock on wood, but locker rooms.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a scary, scary thing.
That's right.
You know, people want to have their phone and be able to make a call, you know, and I can tell you I've walked through the men's locker room before, and nobody wants to see a picture of that that I can think of. I'm sorry.
You know, we're so connected to our devices that every minute that we have is a minute spent that we can answer an email or a text or whatever else. So it's really hard to find that line of what are you actually using your cell phone for. I'll say this, and another thing that they do in the weight room is they're on it, again, being connected. So in between sets, they're on it, answering, responding, all that kind of stuff. And that kind of prolongs the wait time that another person can get on a piece of equipment.
And they're just not as efficient in their workout because, they're taking that time in between sets and holding things up for sure.
That and in a lot of instances where proper etiquette would be to, if somebody's standing there, say, would you like to work in? They're too busy looking at their device.
Sure. You know,
so that sort of thing. So, Maria, do you guys at the Student Health Center, how would that play into what you guys do?
Yeah, so I think for us, it's very clearly posted throughout our clinic and our pharmacy that we, you know, photography isn't allowed. And a lot of that comes down to whenever you're dealing with, you know, medical health care, you really, we're trying to respect and protect the privacy of our patients. And so, you know, along with the reminders, I think our staff, you know, is willing to kind of go and ask someone if they see somebody, you know, taking, maybe they're on Snapchat or they're on Instagram or whatever, and just ask them to kind of shut that down while they're there. And I think for us, you know, if you go to the gym, you're like proud that you're there, but if you come to see us, you're probably sick, you don't feel well, and you don't want to be photographed while you're doing that. And so,
but what's weird about that, Maria, and I'm sure you've probably noticed this because I'll notice it going in the lobby, I have seen girls and guys taking selfies of themselves with a frowny face, and then they're using like hashtag sick, hashtag poor me, or, and then, you know, they'll check into the Student Health Center as their location, as their geolocation on whatever social media platform. But I'm like, who takes a picture of themselves while they're sick? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think it kind of goes back to you want people to know where you are and what you're doing, and there's always that connectivity where you know you have people who may not be around you, but they can go, oh, Maria was sick, I wonder what's going on. But I think it comes down to more respect for the people around you and less about what you want other people to know about you, because you could, you know, just not even trying to do anything, capture something of somebody else, and then you've kind of broken that respect and that privacy that they trust us to maintain while they're in our clinic.
Yeah, and I think too, I know that some of our physicians will sometimes complain that a student is on their phone as they're trying to do the assessment with them, or they'll ask, hey, what are your symptoms? And then, you know, student wants to hand their cell phone over to the doctor and say, oh, my mom will tell you. So I think it's sometimes, you know, I think that dabbles into the whole, you know, parents kind of taking over. But just when you think about cell phone use, it's like, oh, I'm going to go on autopilot of my family speaking on my behalf because I don't know how to have those interactions with my healthcare provider.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of our students who come see us, it is the first time they've ever taken themselves to the doctor by themselves. And so it's fair to maybe be like, oh, talk, you know, let my mom help me out with this. But at the same time, like, I think it's a growing experience to be able to learn how to talk to your provider on your own and kind of take care of that for yourself.
I think it's a great, could potentially be a great tool for jotting down notes for your path. I mean, I know you don't want your entire medical history written down in your notes, but if there are, what teaching health ed classes, what we encourage students to do is be prepared to talk to a physician and have a list of questions want to ask. What better place to have it than
and like your medications phone. I think that's something that a lot of students may not be prepared for, is they may be taking things but they don't think about, you know, coming to a doctor's a doctor's visit with how much of what, you know, what all are you taking. And that, so that's something that you can easily keep on your phone that, you know, would be good.
But I would say too, though, you know, in that same regard, you know, with cell phone use, just thinking about it, you know, we're probably not a fan of people taking pictures or being on their phone, but we don't mind people utilizing it to watch movies or do homework. We actually have some great charging stations now in our lobby because we know that sometimes a wait for any healthcare provider can be lengthy. So
definitely come in and be prepared to entertain yourself. We have that ready. But
hey, so, well, let me ask you this: policy wise, do you guys have staff if somebody's obviously, like, in a situation where we're talking about obviously taking pictures or something like that? Do y'all have a policy about approaching students about that?
I would say it just whichever staff member may notice it does have the comfort and authority to be able to make have that conversation.
Are you guys aware of any, you may not be able to answer this, this might be some kind of HIPAA violation or something, but of a physician having to say, hey, put that phone down, I'm trying to talk to you?
I think it happens on a daily basis. It's a major issue, I would say, for our providers and our nurses especially. I think they're the ones who probably get a little bit more, you know, interaction with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Lots of good questions. And it's the similarities are just kind of amazing between the two. Yeah. And where we go from here, who knows what the next steps might be, what the next, you know, how people react to policies
and
things like that is always an issue, because we want to be, I know from our perspective, it's a little different for y'all. Y'all have sick people there. You know, we want to be as customer friendly as possible.
Oh, of course.
And if people are happy to be at the gym and want to show it off, it's difficult for us to say, hey, put that down.
Right. Mess that up. Yeah.
I mean, I'm the worst about taking my shirt off, taking a picture and throwing it back on.
That's not what we want. That's
why did everybody laugh at that? Hey,
I think we need to take a break.
I think there could not be a better time for a break. So let's take a break right now. Guys, we got lots more to talk about. Got two great guests, and this has been as much fun as I thought it was going to be so far. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to 50 Feet High with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. We want to thank you for spending part of your Sunday afternoon with us here and talking with two great guests and talking about some really interesting topics that are near and dear to mine and Sheena's hearts. Going back to Daryl here, we were talking about some etiquette things in a weight room. Are there some other things that you see that, you know, just that it would do, you know, people that aren't used to being in a gym or just don't know necessarily really good gym etiquette, some things that it would do them good to know?
Yeah, I think for us, the main things that we see repeatedly is when you go into a gym and you want to just start your workout and you do a warm-up set, when you put the plates on, not to put those clips on behind it. And those are the things that we want to kind of remind our patrons in our facility that even if it's lightweight for you, you could maybe lose balance and a plate can come off and hurt somebody else. So we always want to use our clips every time that we rack weight onto a barbell. And the other thing is, you know, when I go to the gym, I like to have my backpack with me or that kind of thing. We just don't have the space for it in the facilities that we have. And, you know, when you have 2,000 plus swipes a day, everybody kind of gets kind of packed. So when you bring your bag in, get what you need, and then use our daily use lockers to store your bag for the rest of your visit there. So
can you explain real quickly what daily use lockers are versus other lockers?
Yeah, so when you come into our facility, you can come to the equipment checkout and ask for a daily use locker, and we'll give you a key. And it's like a locker you would use in high school. You can put your bag in there for the rest of the, you know, your time there and store your bag, so it's not on the gym floor and other people's way.
Yeah, and they're located along the hall, along both hallways.
That's right, and at the Witt Center too. So we have daily use lockers in all facilities.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the last thing, my coordinator would want me to mention this too, and that a lot of people work out different ways, and we want to be something for everybody. You can show studies that, you know, working out with your shoes on or with your shoes off, you know, without your shoes on. You can show studies for both. But we have to be something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so we ask you to keep your shoes on just so we, you know, in general, respect that everybody there, that you just leave your shoes on when you're in there lifting.
That's something for everybody is clean, right?
Right. That's right.
I'll start putting my shoes on.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah. This was directed really good.
Well, you know, kind of going along those same lines with etiquette, Maria, what kind of other things do you think that students need to keep in mind just to just be a good user of our facilities and just being respectful overall?
Yeah, sure. So I think one thing we see a lot is, you know, you're coming to the Student Health Center, you think you're probably going to have to wait for a little bit, so you may want to bring a friend, bring somebody to keep you entertained, you know, keep you company while you're there. And we definitely encourage that. You know, we're not going to say like, oh, you have to come by yourself. And sometimes, you know, you may feel that ill that you need somebody to kind of drive you there and make sure you get there. But one thing we'd really encourage is that once you do get called back to be seen by your provider, that your friend stays in the lobby. One of those is just logistics. Our exam rooms aren't big enough to house, you know, all of your friends while you're trying to be seen and be taken care of. So, and the other thing is just, again, for privacy's sake and making sure that we're keeping your information and your care private and just between you and your provider. That would be a big thing that we see.
Yeah, I would say it's been interesting. And again, I don't know how much other people have noticed this, but I've noticed some patients that come through. It's like they've got an entourage. Yep. They are so much more popular than I ever could be in my entire life. And I'm like, you have got this whole posse coming with you to the
especially for
health
that
center.
Scenario. Like, yeah. If I was like, can we go hang with me at the doctor? People would be like, no, yeah, I'm okay. No. Like, I've got other stuff.
But yeah, they've got like their iPads busted out. They're all like binge watching the same TV shows together, camped out.
Yeah. Well, and that can also cause like a lot of commotion, obviously, if you're bringing a lot of people with you. And I think that comes back again to respect and etiquette about being in a space where people don't feel well and are trying to, you know, be taken care of. And so I would say limiting the people that you bring with you probably also helps us keep the type of environment we need in our lobby while people are waiting to be seen.
For sure.
That's a good point. Something Daryl and I just learned, because as one of my best friends, I always need somebody to hold the cup when I'm giving a urine sample. And Daryl's always there for me.
Nope. This bromance is getting y'all out of here.
I don't know what kind of picture he painted, but this is not it.
Maria, would you say are there any other etiquette things that really just jump out at you? I'm sure you see lots of things. One thing you see, you walk into a waiting room at a doctor's office and people are sneezing and coughing all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Not covering their mouth, that sort of thing. But I'm sure you see lots of other things as well.
I know another thing we talk about a lot, I think, is the times that students try and show up to be seen. We have a really strong policy that we stop taking new walk-ins about 30 minutes before we close. But we do try really hard. If you do kind of walk in past that cutoff time, we work really hard to make sure that we go ahead and slot you for an appointment the next morning or the next day that we're open. So that's something we try to do to kind of make sure. But and another thing is, you know, we start to see around that 11 o'clock hour, our wait times go kind of from, you know, maybe nothing at all to about 15 to 20 minutes. And they jump up pretty significantly around that 11 o'clock hour, just because that's when everybody decides to start showing up.
And waking up.
Yeah. And I'm like, I understand, you know, nobody wants to wake up early, especially to go sit at the doctor's office. But I think that that's just a little rule of thumb that I would encourage students who are starting to feel, you know, not feel well, go ahead and get up, come in that morning. About, we open at 8, we'll be ready to take you in at 8, because the longer you wait in the day to come in, the longer you're probably going to take to be seen.
Yeah. Do you know about what the average wait time would be?
I think it is like 15 to 20 minutes before 11, and then after that it starts moving into like hour and a half, I think, to 2 hour time.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah,
no,
you're fine.
That's a good question.
You know, I think, you know, from the research that we've done, it's pretty comparable to what we've noticed in the community with community providers, and I think even when you try to ask a student to not wait so long to come in, you know, we've had situations where we're closing at 8 p.m. and they want to come in at 7:45, and it's not that we don't want to see them, but the fact that we'd have to send them to our lab and x-ray and the time it takes just physically for those things to be analyzed. And so that's really, you know, more of that versus, we don't want to see you. It's more like, hey, we've got all these other steps you've got to be involved in.
Right. And we make it really easy to make an appointment with us, which is always, I would say, the most recommended way to be seen at the Student Health Center. And students can actually schedule that appointment through their patient portal on MyBama. So they don't even have to, if you don't like making phone calls, I get it. You don't want to call and sit, talk to someone on the phone. You don't even have to do that. You can schedule your appointment through that patient portal. And that's really the best way to kind of take care of all of that stuff with us.
Could I take a selfie at the gym and upload it for a particular time? It's possible.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that you can do that on Facebook. Yeah. You can time when that post goes live.
Wow.
Yeah. Schedule it.
Well, along those same lines, between this kind of a crossover between etiquette and gym rules and gym requests and that sort of thing, obviously the best times are not, you know, earlier in the day to come in and not right before you're closing. And I can see people probably wanting to come in right before you're closing, thinking they're wanting to get out of here, so they're going to see me quicker.
Yeah.
Daryl, what would you say, you know, and with us having different facilities, different hours, you know, peak times, best time to come in to work out if you want to, you know, be able to move around the weight room for more freedom.
Right, much like coming to the doctor, you don't want to do that in the morning. Going and getting a workout done early in the morning for us is the best time to come utilize all of our facilities.
Sure.
We see a trend of, you know, the later it gets in the afternoon, the busier it gets. The 3 to 8 period and the WIT Center and the Student Recreation Center are our busiest times. So anytime before then, we get a little spike around the lunchtime hour too, but early morning or after 9 p.m., are the times that you can come get a workout pretty.
Do we still have at the Student Rec Center opening at 5:30? Do we still have that a little bit of an early morning peak rush, but it's not too much
it's not too much to where if you wanted to come get a workout and use multiple different machines that you could get it through in about 45 minutes to an hour. Yeah.
So irrespective of age, I've worked at some different facilities over the years, some hospital-based facility, privately owned facilities, and those seem to follow kind of the same patterns. Regardless.
Right. I mean, it's just, you know, a trend, and that's a trend I don't think will change. It might change an hour here on the bookends of that 3-day, but you know, that afternoon time is a pretty coveted time to go work out.
Right. Sure. And especially when if you're the type of person who likes to do things like compound sets or tri sets or some type of circuit where you need to, have different access to different machines.
Yeah, and that goes back to when it gets that packed, the little etiquette part of it is, you know, a lot of people want to do those sets and drop sets, want to take every dumbbell off the rack and utilize all those things. And we ask that you not do that. Be mindful of other people that are in from the 3-day p.m. craziness of coming to work out, that one piece of equipment at a time before we move on to your next set.
Right. Yeah, when you go from having 80-pound dumbbells all the way down to 5-pound dumbbells laying around, just probably not a good thing.
It's not ideal.
So you guys, good to hang around for another 10-minute segment with us?
Yeah, let's do it. For sure. Great.
Yeah, because I want to talk about parking, y'all. Because just knowing, recognizing at both facility, we'll get controversial for a second, but we got to take a break. So you guys, stick with us. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back. You've been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone this afternoon. If you're just joining us, gosh, y'all have missed out on a ton of stuff, but thankfully, we are still here with our fantastic guests, Daryl Hargraves and Maria Ford. Daryl from the Student Recreation Center and Maria Ford with the Student Health Center. And so we've been talking etiquette, we've been talking rules, we've been just talking general things to keep in mind when you are visiting these facilities on campus.
Yeah, and you know, for a lot of people, it's, you know, first time in a different type of facility like this. And, you know, it's not a private, you know, for us, it's the Student Recreation Center and the WIT Center. We're not a privately owned facility.
Sure.
And so, you know, we have certain rules, and we have a vast variety of patrons that enter our facility from, you know, 16-year-old. We allow 16-year-olds in our facility, you know, all the way up to, you know, I've known 91 and 92-year-old people in there working out before, running circles around Daryl Hargraves. but anyway, one thing that I wanted to move to real quickly and make sure that we get in is two main things, Daryl. I'll try to separate these two points for you. You probably get a lot of requests for different types of equipment. We're limited in space.
We
know that, and I'll let you explain how all that works. But you get those requests. You want to talk a little bit about what those requests are and why we do what we do?
Sure. And JJ, you can speak to this, as we've gone back and forth on trying to find the best space that we have to utilize what we got. And we have to be something for everybody. And that's been our main goal as we have these discussions. And the main request that we get is more squat racks, because it's a versatile piece of equipment. But the layout of our weight room doesn't allow us to have multiple than the ones that we have. And the room that they're in now wasn't designed to be that room. And we just turned it into that to accommodate the need. Which is our power room right off to the right of the weight room floor. So squat racks, and we know that. We get asked for kettlebells and all these other, you know, like individual items. And the space that we have, we just don't have that design for it. We just, you know, when we create our flow pattern of you know, what pieces we do have in there, we think of safety first. And then we want to try to accommodate as many people as we can. And I understand we've talked about CrossFit and all these other different type of exercises. And we want to be something for everybody. we just can't be specific for one person or a group of people to do one thing or you know, a couple of things within their workout. So we just have to be something for everybody in our weight room.
One thing that I'm very proud of, and Sheena, I don't know if you guys are aware of it. I don't know if we've talked about it before, but we try to be as inviting as possible for those people that are intimidated by working out or coming into a gym that has 4,000 to 5,000 people a day that come in. And we actually, amongst all those other things that Daryl was talking about, we try to design our weight room so that, you know, the farther into the weight room you go, the more complex it gets, so that you can skirt along the edges and get everything you need without having to get in there amongst everybody and feel like you're being in people's way and being looked at. So, and that's one thing I'm proud of, the way that we design that facility is we're able to do all those other things that Daryl talked about, try to be as accommodating to people as possible, but also be as inviting to people as possible too. Daryl, one other question, the second part that I wanted to go to, that common rules that people don't understand why we have them in place. I know there's probably several, but the ones that jumped to mind first for you.
You know, we talked about the clips and gym bags, but another thing that we kind of ask our patrons when they come in is even if they come from a high school or they come from a private gym that allows, you know, powerlifting, and you do a movement and you can drop that weight from a certain distance, that we don't ask you to, we ask you not to do those things because you mentioned the swipes. We're just not like a privately owned gym. We see 3,000 people in our facility a day, and that normal wear and tear on our equipment has to last a really long time. So when we ask you, hey, control your weights to the floor, you know, it's not that we're trying to pick on you or anything like that. We're just trying to preserve our equipment for as long as we can. I mentioned my start date was 2004. We kept our dumbbells from that 2004 expansion until a year and a half ago. So it lasted 11 years. And you know, we had to replace them because, you know, every so often because of, you know, drop and all that kind of thing, people dropping weights. But we were able to maintain them because we had that rule. Right. And we just asked people not to do those things. And, yeah, we have bumper plates in there. But you got to think if 125 people come to the powerlifting room in a three-hour period, that's a lot more than another private gym would get in a day. And so you get that 5 days a week, you know, 365 days a year. That's going to add up to a wear and tear and then us having to replace it.
One question I know you get a lot about, you hear a lot about, is we have a rule related to lifting overhead, similarly along those lines. Could you explain that real quickly?
Yeah, again, going back to the age of cell phones and people not paying attention and our space that's allotted for our weight room. So we want to protect not only the person that's doing the lift overhead, but the person that's not.
Sure.
You know, so they're just not paying attention and they can, you know, walk into you while you're doing an Olympic lift, an overhead movement, and knock you off your balance and injure yourself. And it's not you injuring you, it's somebody else that may do that. Or, you know, conversely, somebody that is on the social media looking at men's health and sees an Olympic lift for the first time and tries to do it themselves, you know, gets out of whack and then, you know, lands on somebody else. And so we have alternatives, and our staff does a really great job. If you want to do an over the head movement, there's a dumbbell to replace that barbell that you can do those things in the weight room. We don't want to eliminate your workout, but we want to modify it to be safe for yourself and the safety of others.
Okay, so let me interrupt you right here then. why can I do dumbbells overhead but not, and I obviously I know the answer to this question, but I think I do. Helped you with this rule, but why can you do dumbbells overhead but not barbells?
We talked about the damage radius. If I have a barbell that is 6 foot long, and let's just say we don't have a clip on there, or we do, you drop that, the damage radius is going to be a little bit more significant than if you just drop a dumbbell. Right. The dumbbell is just probably going to hit you. And not that we want that, we want the damage to be a little bit minimal. And that was a compromise that we gave. Like, you know, we could say no overhead lifts at all. But the fact that we're doing compromises because we do want your workout to be complete when you come to our facility, that was a compromise that we said, okay, this makes sense. As opposed to this doesn't.
See how great he is at conflict management.
Very.
Everybody was so agreeable in this room. I wish everybody was like that when I know.
How can I talk of something feisty so that I could like hear this conflict resolution stuff? Well, you know, conversely, thinking at the Student Health Center, there's definitely some processes involved just to make the experience smoother for a student. Maria, tell us a little bit about what kind of things students need to keep in mind on that first visit or maybe subsequent visits for things just to have on them. So it's an easy experience, even at the front desk.
Yeah. So I think what makes us different, obviously, from other facilities in the community is that we only treat students. And so it's always important to have your ACT card with you when you come in. And that's really for every time, because that's just how we verify that you are a student and that we can see you. And then having your insurance card with you is really important if you have insurance. And that could either be the hard copy of it, or you could have, you know, a printed out version of it that maybe your parents sent you, or even having a picture of it on your phone is a good way for us to get started. And so those two are the big things I would say you need to have every time you come to see us. And then if you do take any type of medication already that your provider that you may see that day may not be aware of, having a list of that, and especially knowing your dosage, is another really great way to make your experience a lot more smooth when you come to see us.
And I would say too, you know, along with that, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Maria, but sometimes we'll have students that will sign in for an appointment and they won't put exhaustively what all they want to be seen for. So they might put headache, but it's really mental health issues, or it's, you know, a stomach ache, but they're wanting to come in for something else. So I think being as accurate as possible on that appointment slip seems to be helpful too.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that before, but do you guys have a lot of people come in that for multiple issues? They want to get them all taken care of at one time.
Yeah, and I think, too, they're probably thinking, oh, I got this doctor right in front of me. Like, let me throw down and tell them this other stuff I've got going on. So I think if someone from the forefront can kind of put that out there, that's always helpful. Right. I had a student one time sign up for a nutrition appointment. I guess they thought that my office was in the rest of the clinic. They really needed to get tested for STDs, and they didn't want to put that on there. So they signed up for a nutrition visit thinking that they would just,
just naturally come up.
So they came to you for. So how did? I don't even want to know how. We got to go to a break. So I don't want to know how you handle that situation.
No, it was graceful. Of course it would be. But Daryl, Maria, thank you guys so much for being with us this afternoon.
Of course,
we got to do this again.
Yeah, I know it's been great, and I know we have to shut things down here real quickly, but I could ask you guys questions all day long.
We'll definitely come back.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I don't know much, so I like to ask questions.
So we're going to take one more quick break, and we'll be back shortly. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7, The Capstone. You're here with Sheena and John, and we're continuing our conversation with two people who were about to leave the studio, and I corralled them and asked them to stay.
You ran out in the parking lot.
Yeah, I did. I drugged them back in here. Just because a couple more questions for you guys, and I really appreciate y'all staying. I know your time's valuable.
Always enjoying our course, so no problem whatsoever.
Daryl, for you, this is one question I definitely think is important for people to hear, if especially from somebody like you. If someone were to ask you which facility that they should use, what would you tell them?
All of them.
Okay.
There's something in each one that is unique to every part of your workout. So if you use the aquatic center, you can get your swim in and do a lift and do cardio. So, and if you utilize all of them, that may help with your perception of overcrowding. So if you pick your times and pick your spots, utilize all of them. You can, you know, the WIT Center is not much parking, as we talked about in between a segment about parking on campus. But if you utilize going to WIT and do a run over there as part of your warm up, you know, that can, you can incorporate that into your workout. I know we're all creatures of habit, and I'm one for sure. I like what I'm used to, but if you step out and kind of look at what other facilities, I'd say all of them.
Right.
That's such a generic answer.
One other question I want to get in here before you have to go. In 30 seconds or less, could you tell me, I don't know if this is possible, what type of training does your staff receive? You're responsible for all those staff, so.
Right, so definitely heavy on the beginning of each semester. We do 3 or 4 day trainings in August, and a 2 day training or 1 day training in January, and then monthly meetings specific to the weight room. They go over correct spotting techniques, cleaning techniques to make sure that we have our machines clean and everybody's safe in there, as well going over that conflict resolution stuff.
And you have a very friendly and welcoming front desk staff.
Oh, we appreciate that. Yeah. That's what they work hard on doing. And I have to give credit to my three coordinators that oversee that day-to-day stuff with them and setting that tone for a welcoming, safe environment for our patrons at the University of Alabama.
Right. Good deal. It's good to be welcomed into a fitness facility.
For sure. Yeah, oh, for sure. Absolutely. And I would say even, too, with our reception staff at the Student Health Center, again, with students coming in not feeling their best, we try to have the most caring people at the front desk.
They're super sweet. I mean, it's almost like you would think you would almost want to have your mom at the desk, you know, checking you in. And I feel like a lot of the ladies at the front are definitely like that.
They're probably a little sweeter than my mom.
Maybe so. Yeah, my mom would be like, just go.
Yeah,
just
she'd be like, in. Come on, suck it up.
Yeah, y'all do. I actually made a trip over to Faculty Staff Wellness Clinic not too long ago, and a business-related trip, and I sneezed on the secretary when I was walking by our administrative staff. Oh. I really didn't, but I actually did. That's the honest truth. And she was the nicest lady. She was just like, "Can I get you a tissue?" And I'm like, "I just sneezed on you. You should be mad at me." But
it's like, wow, that's good. Like gut reaction of, "Can I get you a tissue?" versus dagger eyes.
Oh, yeah. I would have been running to the shower if it would have been me.
Well, okay. So we got a minute and a half left in this segment. I'm going to ask y'all all a quick, fun question. Everybody answer. What's your favorite Thanksgiving food, Maria?
Oh, definitely definitely green bean casserole.
Okay. Nice choice. Yeah. Daryl?
I'm going to go dessert with pecan pie.
Nice. John, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food without green bean juice on it?
Is it possible for you to have a plain generic Thanksgiving dish that you like?
It's French fries, thanks to my mom.
Okay.
Who I love very much. Great care of me.
You know, we're about to go into Turkey Day, so I had to ask.
That's
I think
a
for
good
me,
question. What's yours?
Pumpkin pie. I'm a dessert person.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever dripped green bean juice on your pumpkin pie?
And
if
no.
so, would you eat it?
No, but I could see how that could be traumatizing, as you articulated in some past shows. Yeah. So I understand.
You guys have missed that, but design of not just weight rooms, but your table.
Yes.
When you're setting up for Thanksgiving is important, would you not say?
I would
You've
say
learned
so.
That.
I have, yes.
As a dietitian from me.
I have. Yes, you have to be all-inclusive, making people feel comfortable, conducive eating environment. So now I know not to have green beans next to the mashed potatoes and the ham, or else they could be tainted by green bean juice, as per Dr. John Jackson of Fit to Be Tied.
Thank you for acknowledging me on that, Gina.
You're welcome. You guys, we're done with this show. Yay. Y'all are probably ready for it to be over, but today's guests have been fantastic. Conversation has been fantastic. We hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving. So check us out next week, but until then, you have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.